to be shaped and formed in your likeness. We pray that as we read your scriptures, that you would inspire the hearing of your scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read from Micah chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, and then we'll skip to 18 through 20. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I must bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he takes my side and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out into the light. I shall see his vindication. Then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" My eyes will see her downfall. Now she will be trodden down like the mire of the streets. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of your possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in showing clemency. He will again have compassion for us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and unswerving loyalty to Abraham, as you have sworn to our ancestors from the days of old. Early this year in July, I was ordained. And as I was approaching my ordination service, I was wondering who is going to preach at my ordination service. And so I thought of Laura, Pastor Laura, who is a dear friend of mine for the past several years. And not only because she's a friend, but also because I love her preaching. I appreciate her preaching voice. And so she blessed me. But I gave her a passage from Ecclesiastes that was quite obscure. And she laughed when she read it. And are you trying to do this to me on purpose? And now she's given me a passage from Micah. And now we've got this passage about the indignation of the Lord that we bear. And I wonder if this is some cruel joke she's playing back at me that we're all in on together. So my name is Brendan McClenahan. I am a Grand Haven resident with my wife, Rachel, and three daughters, Jane, Grace, and Hannah, that are all here today. And thank you for welcoming us into your church to be able to serve and worship with you. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Micah 7. Micah is not a very well-known prophet. Most of us know him for the do justice kind of passages that are very inspiring. But Micah is very upset in his book. He is calling out the sin of Jerusalem, the sin of Israel. In Micah 3:8, Micah says, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin." Micah is here to proclaim that we have fallen short, that the nation of Israel has fallen short to what God has promised. And not just in general terms, but very specific terms. You should read the beginning of Micah, those first six chapters, where he reams on the sin of Israel, saying in what I see as three major themes. One is the greed and idolatry of the nation, that the leaders have gone astray, that the leaders want money and will worship anything other than God, and that the prophets who are supposed to speak for God are basically sold out, that they will say good things about the future if they're well paid and well fed. And he's calling out the hypocrisy of the leadership. So that's one major theme. Another major theme is the theme of oppression, the breakdown of relationships that make the community whole. And he says earlier in this chapter, he says that no one can trust even their spouse or their father or their son. No one can trust each other anymore because there's so much oppression and lying and taking advantage of people. In addition, the people in power are taking land and possessions away from the most vulnerable in their communities. That not just among families, but in our communities, the people who are in power are taking things away from the people who are most vulnerable. And Micah is crying out, this is wrong, this is evil, and God hates this. And the third theme I see is the theme of desecration, that as the leaders begin to go astray into greed and idolatry, and as the people are oppressed and the poor are not dignified, the land is crying out because there's nothing to eat anymore. No one is caring for the land and it's not bearing fruit. It's not giving sustenance and provision to the people that God had set there. And so Micah is crying out and he says, I have sinned against him. Micah is living in Moresheth, which is southwest of Jerusalem. He's out in the countryside. And yet he's saying, I have sinned. Why does Micah say this? He's taking responsibility. He's taking responsibility for the sin and saying, we have sinned against God, not just you leaders, but we are all a part of this. I was trying to understand why Micah is putting himself, why doesn't he say, you have sinned? He says, I have sinned. And I was reading some of Abraham Heschel, who is a Jewish theologian, and gave me some perspective on this passage. This is what Abraham Heschel says. The prophets remind us of the moral state of people. Few are guilty, but all are responsible. If we admit that the individual is in some measure conditioned or affected by the spirit of society, an individual's crime discloses society's corruption. There is an evil which most of us condone and are even guilty of. Indifference to evil. We remain neutral, impartial, and not easily moved by the wrongs done to other people. Indifference to evil is more insidious than evil itself. It is more universal, more contagious, more dangerous, a silent justification, and it makes possible an evil erupting as an exception, becoming the rule, and being in turn accepted. And so the wrath of God, which is mentioned by Micah in here, the wrath, the indignation, the rage of God, is a lamentation of the evil in the world. Abraham Heschel goes on to say, all prophecy is one great exclamation. God is not indifferent to evil. God is always concerned. He is personally affected by what man does to man. And so Micah says, I must bear the indignation of the Lord, the wrath of the Lord. This is the part of the passage that I didn't want to preach on because these are difficult words to hear. What does it mean for Micah to say, I will bear the wrath of the Lord, the indignation of the Lord, the rage of the Lord, I will bear because I have sinned against him? What does that mean? I think part of the reason I have such a hard time understanding this passage is because we are in different contexts. I live in an individualistic society, in an individualistic culture, where our whole idea of justice is figuring out who did the wrong thing and proclaiming them guilty and saying, I have no responsibility for that person. It's just that person's fault. I was talking with Cal this last week and learned that he's in law enforcement. And what a great resemblance of the way our community takes responsibility for the wrongs committed in our community. But it's hard in our individualistic societies to imagine how one person's guilt, how one person's evil act is a responsibility of all of us. I had a stomach ache on Monday. Imagine having a stomach ache. When your stomach aches, your whole body feels like it's aching, right? When your stomach is in pain, my legs take me to the medicine closet and my eyes look for the right medicine. My hands reach out and open up the medicine and my mouth gets the medicine to my stomach. The whole body rallies to help the injured part. But in our individualistic society, it's as if when we experience a stomach ache, we do a stomachectomy. Get that stomach out of me. That thing is causing all the pain and doing all the evil. So we'll get rid of that. But what Heschel reminds us of and what Micah reminds us of is that the evil, the sin, the suffering we experience in one part of our life, in one part of our community, our family, our world, is all of our responsibility. That's why he's writing these words on behalf of God to say, we should all care about this. Why are we so indifferent about these things? And so I wonder, what evil, what sin we have become numb to in our own lives, whether it's in our family, well, it's even in my personal life. What sins, what evil have I become numb to, indifferent towards in my own life? What about in my family? What sins or evils am I indifferent to in my own life, in my family's life, in the life of my community? What things have I become indifferent to? What things have I become indifferent to in the world? And when we learn that the sin is in us and in the sin is the world, it makes us want to hide, doesn't it? Like that first song we sang. And to read words like, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against us. He has sinned against us. Doesn't that make us want to hide sometimes? But rather than hiding, Micah is saying, we should be coming out into the light and letting God be with us in the midst of that. And so to bear the indignation of the Lord here, the word bear is to literally carry. And the word indignation is that rage, that anger, the wrath of God that we carry. And I wonder if Micah is inviting us with him to say, I am choosing not to be indifferent, but to rather bear the wrath of God, bear the anger of the Lord, bear the rage of the Lord towards this sin that I've become indifferent towards. I think of things in our own community. There was an armed robbery at LMCU this last week. And I think of all the other different issues in our world and our lives that maybe we experience and that God is calling us to bear God's indignation towards. And I was talking with my wife about this. I feel like God is calling us. I said, I wonder if God is calling us to feel the way God does about these things. And she said, well, everything in the world? You mean like when I open up my news feed or any evil thing, I'm supposed to weep and cry and wail like Micah does? That would kill me. And I realized that what Micah is asking us to do is virtually impossible. I wouldn't be able to get out of bed in the morning if I had to care this deeply about every single sin, every single evil, because it's overwhelming. It floods us. Realize we can't care. We don't have the capacity within ourselves to care the way Micah is calling us to care about these things, to be able to bear God's wrath about these things. So what do we do? What do we do when we are faced with an evil world that God is calling us to care about? And this is where I turn back to this passage where it says, I will sit in darkness and the Lord will be a light to me. I must bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he takes my side and executes justice for me. He will bring me out to the light. I shall see his vindication. And in here is a promise. In here is a promise that is only fulfilled in Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who has come to put on flesh and to bear the sorrow, the grief of the Lord amongst us, to take on our condition, to take on the human condition and to bear it faithfully all the way until the cross, where Jesus bears the wrath of God towards sin and bears the pain of sin fully upon his body, even to the point where it does kill him, the way that we fear we will be killed by the weight of sin. And it does kill him. And then God fulfills God's promise to Jesus. Yet Jesus is the only one who can actually fulfill this. And God fulfills God's promises to Jesus to say, when I sit in darkness, imagine Jesus in the tomb there, sitting in darkness. God brings him out into the light and Jesus sees his vindication. And so we can say that we are one with Christ. When we can say we are one with Christ, we are baptized into Christ, our whole community takes on a new identity as the body of Christ, able to bear the wrath of God, able to suffer the evils of the world without being crushed. To know that through the Holy Spirit, we are given a gift of resurrection promise, that we don't have to fear being crushed under the weight of sin and evil, that we can truly experience compassion for our brothers and sisters when they're in trouble. We can truly experience the weight of the conviction of our own hearts when we are faced with sin and evil and suffering, to know that we don't have to go hiding into shame or ignorance or indifference, but we can bear it faithfully with Christ as Christ gives us the strength to bear that. I think of the way that we have been caring for and caring with Castro and Casase, and the way that this community has come around something that we believe is sinful and evil, the way that people are having to run away from their countries of origin, and the way that this community is coming around and bearing that together, bearing the wrath of the Lord in some sense together, to say we are not indifferent to the evil of the world, but instead we are going to faithfully with Christ, with the strength of the Holy Spirit, bear this. And sometimes it gets overwhelming, doesn't it? Surely for those who are refugees, and surely for us who are trying to carry the weight together and learning along with that. But we can trust the Holy Spirit in this community, in this church, to be able to help one another and carry each other's burdens together. I have a story of this in my own life. A few weeks ago, I'd gone, flown to a retreat that I had planned, that I was leading with several people. It was a ministry retreat. We were out in the desert in California. And people were just starting to arrive. It was, we'd just been there a couple hours. I'd just started meeting people for the first time I'd never met before. And we were all sitting around a table having some appetizers, and I was eating. And suddenly I started to itch on my scalp. I started to feel kind of itchy, which I've never really felt before. And so I left the table and I went into a room and I looked in the mirror, and my whole face was puffy and swollen. And I never experienced anything like that. And I pulled up my arms, and my arms were all splotchy and red. And I thought, I'm having some kind of allergic reaction. I have no idea what's happening. And I didn't want to tell anyone, because I thought, I just met these people. We're just sitting down the first time, and now I'm the guy who has allergic reactions. And finally, I reached out to one person who I did know. I said, I think I'm having an allergic reaction. And she gave me some antihistamine. And then I just wanted to hide in a room again, but it didn't go away. And so I was thinking, I'm kind of trapped. I don't have anyone I trust to help me. And I had this belief that's a little bit of shame, right? Thinking I have to go hide because I am not comfortable sharing. I don't trust other people will be able to respond. I feel like people might be indifferent to my own situation. I don't want to put them through that. And I talked to my wife, and she said, you need to talk to somebody. You need to get some help. They probably need to take you to a doctor or something. And so I reached out. I decided that I would actually invite someone to help me. And they all rallied together, just like that stomach ache analogy I told you about. The body rallied together to take care of me. And they got me into a car. They drove me to the emergency room. We got pulled over by a police officer on the way there because we were speeding. But we got the emergency room, and someone sat in the car for 4 hours. Someone else sat next to me for 4 hours, holding my hand, getting me water, helping me talk to the doctor, asking the right questions. And she said, I'm not leaving you. And so the whole body came together and helped me through something that I was feeling shame around and feeling like I wanted to hide. To me, that was a small example of how through the Spirit, we are empowered to overcome indifference. That when we're able to share with one another, share with the body of Christ, and to not feel indifferent about the evil and suffering and sin of the world, we can actually come together and bear the burden together, like Micah calls us to do, that what was impossible for one of us to do, together we can. And so right now I'm going to invite Pastor David to come up and lead us in a time of prayer. This is going to be an opportunity for us to practice some of this, to not be indifferent towards the evil and suffering and pain of one another, but to listen and respond and to carry each other in prayer into God's throne room where God can minister to us. and we can experience the light of God's love, to say, who is a God like you? Who is a God like you through whom we experience so much eternal love that covers our sin and shame? So let's enter into a time of prayer.
As we do come to prayer, as Brendan has said,